This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
If I were you, oh, if I were you, not wasting.
Well, that was sweet.
Yeah. Did you recognize that guy?
That was from Growing Pains.
That's correct.
That was Kirk Cameron.
That is Mikey Seaver. That is Alan Thicke. R.I.P.
Whoa. R.I.P. indeed. Damn.
Let me pull up who wrote that song. I think it was a request that I made last time. Nathan Thompson.
Oh, you did ask for that.
Yeah. Remember the guy with the band DearLincoln.com?
Oh, yeah. Great name. Yeah. Great name for a band.
Dear Lincoln is the band name. DearLincoln.com is the URL.
Right. Obviously.
So he's on Spotify, Facebook, YouTube, wrote a theme song for us before. I recommended Growing Pains. I suggested it. I requested it, and I got it.
I begged for it. You got it.
I'm just going to throw another one out there in the ether, just because this guy is talented. There's a great theme song from a kind of lesser-known show called The Hogan Family. I think it would make a great If I Were You theme song. Again, Dear Lincoln, I don't know how busy you are, but Hogan Family parody.
You really should start. If you're going to do these requests, you owe him cash now, I think.
All right. Then I want to rescind the request.
Amir will give you $1,000 just then.
I don't want to be on the hook.
You want to hear the Hogan theme song? Do you want to hear the Hogan theme song, Ben?
I'd like to hear it, but not if it's going
to
cost.
Then you're going to have to Venmo Dear Lincoln $1,000.
I don't fucking have his Venmo. I didn't know that it was $1,000.
He'll request it. He'll write the song and then request it from you, and you just have to accept the request. No. You don't have to find him. It's very seamless. It's quite easy.
I don't want to then. Forget the Hogan Family theme song.
You don't want to hear it?
No, I mean, I do. I want to hear it if it were.
You want to hear it? Dear Lincoln's going to make it, and it will only cost you $1,000.
I don't want to give up the G. I really don't want to give up the G.
You pay him $9.99. I'll do the last buck. I don't even care because it's not anything to me.
Yeah, a dollar isn't anything. You're asking me to pony up.
Money is not an object to me. I don't like. I'll spend.
So you give up the $1,000.
I'm not spending $1,000 fucking dollars
because it is an object.
That's the height of idiocy, okay? I wouldn't pay $1,000 for a theme song that we usually get for free. No. But you're requesting. You're making requests.
Yeah, all right. Fine. Fucking, this is extortion. I'll give him $1,000.
Venmo it to me. I'll hold on to it for
all you. All right. I see what you want to do here. You want to become some sort of extortion escrow service where you make me pay $1,000 and it goes to you. You're not going to give it to him.
$1,000 escrow. It's just an escrow service. I hold on to it. And when you get the request, I'll pay it. I promise.
Why? Why are you an animated little boy now?
I'm a tiny little man with a big idea for escrow company. Ooh.
Never mind.
Okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense. You wouldn't trust a 33-year-old guy doing a tiny little baby voice
yeah.
with your cash.
You're 34.
Right. I get that. I'm not 34. I'm 33. Years young.
Yeah, but you're about to be.
Yeah, by the time this episode comes out,
yeah,
I'll still be 33. So,
yeah, for like a couple weeks.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of people are 33 and at the height of their game. And so I think I am too. It's kind of nice.
I guess you will be at the head of your game for like another 2 weeks.
Well, I'm 33 years young at heart forever. That's kind of cool.
Have you seen Chernobyl?
Yes.
So I started watching it. I'm two episodes deep. And as you can imagine.
I told you you would love it.
Yeah, it's great. Very heavy. Very serious. Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be funny if it had like a Growing Pain style theme song.
You want Dear Lincoln to do it?
So like.
Dear Lincoln does a Chernobyl like sitcom TV intro. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, that could be like a viral video. So it's like a cold open of a scientist holding a piece of graphite, and then he like starts coughing and his face starts bleeding.
Uh-huh.
And then it slowly fades into a Growing Pains theme song about the show Chernobyl.
That's cool. If we still worked at College Humor, that's like a pitch that would be greenlit last week.
It's weird that I know people have talked about it, but since I'm watching it for the first time, it's weird that everyone has a British accent in Chernobyl.
Yeah, I didn't.
What was the decision there?
I think maybe to make it seem like, you know, this didn't happen in America. This happened far away, but I guess they didn't.
But still not Russia.
Right. Maybe it's weird to me a little bit because like, a TV show like The Americans showed how many great actors there are with Russian accents that they could have cast. But it seemed like they were just like, no, we're going to go all British, all in. I didn't hate the choice, though. Like, I enjoy watching people with British accents in dramas. So it was cool.
But some people did have Russian accents, right? Or am I just making that up?
No, I don't think anyone had Russian accents. I think the different accents were like all different places in the UK. I might be wrong also, but I thought the miners had like Scottish accents.
Yeah, but then like Gorbachev didn't have a British accent, did he?
He definitely didn't really have a Russian one though.
It's so, what a decision for a great show. And I wonder if it was like agonized over, or if it's just like everyone gets to pick an accent and then we'll just fucking go ham on the day.
Yeah. No, I think, I'm sure it was agonized over. I feel like every decision on a show like that is agonized over. What you're on episode two?
Yeah. Yes. So what happened? Finished episode two.
What's happening in episode, at the end of episode two?
They go into the water to like drain the tanks because that would create an even worse devastation.
Yeah. I'm
really excited to see how they get out of this mess, because as of now, it seems like the entire world is going to die.
Yeah. I loved like those two guys' relationship. What is it? Sherbina and Legasov?
Yeah, the Lane Price from Mad Men and Stellan Skarsgård from Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, I love like their friendship. It's really fun.
Yeah,
in episode one, comedy. It sort of starts. Yeah, and then in episode two, you're like, oh wow, these guys are unlikely friends.
They start kissing in episode three. Right?
Well, no spoilers, but yeah, they it's like a will they, won't they, and then they fuck in episode four.
I love that about Chernobyl. All right, what is this? It's an advice podcast, after all, not a TV recap show.
Though it should
it's
be.
If I were you. The only advice podcast on the web hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Josh.
And I am Josh Stedislavia. That's right. I have a British accent and I'm Russian now.
Good on
you. I'm a nuclear physicist from Belarus.
Good on you, Stanislav. Yeah.
All right. We got some good questions. You found two. I found two.
Yes.
Should we do the rundown again?
Ooh, yeah, that's a fun idea.
All right. You sent me kissing my coworker in Europe problem.
Uh-huh.
Shaving colon, I'm not gross. Then I sent you need your perspective colon drunk girlfriends.
Of course.
And then should I hide my tattoo while having sex?
Lots of good questions. An embarrassment of riches, if you will.
Let's have a draft. You get to choose your first pick now.
Oh, okay. Let's do should I hide my tattoo while having sex?
All right. We'll call this lady Oksana Bayul, because I think she's vaguely Eastern European, and that reminds me of Chernobyl. Oksana writes, I have already have a handful of tattoos on my arms, so no biggie, right? But about 3 weeks ago, I decided to get a tattoo of Nas, not Lil Nas X, and he's located on the back of my arm. Apparently, it's realistic enough because now my long-term boyfriend doesn't even want to see this tattoo while engaging in anything sexual. Is he being machismo, or should I have consulted my tattoo choices with him before I decided to get a portrait? Should I just keep a shirt on, wear a bandana? For the love of fried pickles, help a sister over 30 out. Attached is my tattoo. So on the back of her arm, starting in the shoulder down to her elbow, is a very photorealistic, kind of demonic portrait of the rapper Nas, and on his neck is a tattoo of a guy with a tattoo, and it says Braveheart, and he's just staring dead-eyed into anybody who can see.
Does Nas have a Queens tattoo on his forehead? No, he does not. I'm looking at pictures. The Nas tattoo of that she has doesn't fully look like Nas, at least the Nas that I know. So that's sort of interesting. It's like he's wearing a crown of thorns. there's a Queen's tattoo on his forehead. There's a little asterisk under his eye. Part of his face is crumbling.
The hair looks very real. It's a good tattoo.
Yeah, it's a good tattoo.
I don't know how you would tattoo hair like that. It's like short hair, but still looks like hair.
Big ups to Mike underscore V underscore tattoo for his nasty Nas work.
By the way, you know how she said not Lil Nas X? About a month ago, you said that you had never heard Old Town Road, had never heard of Lil Nas X. When I brought that up to you on the show, was it like the type of thing where now you hear it and see it all the time? You're like, I can't believe I hadn't heard it before. Or was that like the only time you've heard that song and heard of Lil
Since
Nas X?
Then, I've heard that song. Like, I still don't know how it goes, but I know I like heard it somewhere, and I've heard the name and the song brought up more, but I still not like listen to the song. Wow. Interesting fact about me and popular music is that I've never ever heard the song Someone Like You by Adele.
That is an interesting thing about you. Wait.
I know how it goes based on like people singing it and stuff. But like,
was it a conscious decision to avoid it? Like if you heard it on the radio, you'd turn it off?
I've actively never listened to it. It's the same thing with what's the Bradley Cooper Lady Gaga song?
Shallow?
Is that Shallow? No. Is it like Listen, Boy.
Yeah,
tell me something.
Shallow. Don't say no to me. You're admitting that you've never heard the song.
I've heard that song.
Yeah.
I just hate it. I think it's so bad.
Really?
It's like it's not catchy, and like at least based on what I heard from the Adele thing, it's also just not. I just don't like the cadence of the words. I don't like anything about it. So I'm like, I know I'll hate this song, and I've avoided listening to it.
Have you seen Star Is Born?
No, but I had the ending spoiled for me, so now I really don't need to see it.
But I think if you watch Star Is Born, you'll like the song, because they do a good way of like introducing it, and then when they play it, it's very catchy, and it's very good, and it's a good song, and I think you'll like it.
All right. I do think, I'm quite certain I would like Star Is Born if I watched it. But I'm just like, sort of not interested in liking it.
Yeah.
Have you ever had anything like that? Like, I just don't want to be there.
Yeah. Like, does that make I know sense? It's a good movie, but I don't want to actually watch it because I would rather do something else with my 2 hours.
I don't even, like, I'll be on a plane and I'll know that I'll see other people watching it. I'm like, I should watch this. And I know I shouldn't, like, watch Fantastical Beasts and Where to Find Them or whatever, but I know I shouldn't watch Assassin's Creed. Like, these action movies are bad, and I hate them. And then I'm like, no, I'll watch Aquaman. That's what I'll do on this plane ride.
I'm kind of like
watching
that with
a movie I'll like.
Yeah, I'm like that with most things. Like, I can't get into it, but, like, once I'm in, I'm invested. Like, I knew Chernobyl was the same thing. Everyone said it was great, and I knew I was going to like it. But just the idea of watching 6 hours about a power plant melting, I'm like, I don't want to get into
it.
But now that I'm 2 episodes deep, I'm like, oh, this is great. I know the characters. I know this. I want to keep watching.
Right. It's a very good show.
Do you know it was written by the guy who wrote Hangover?
Yes, I did. That's crazy.
What were we talking about? The tattoo?
Tattoo. Jesus Christ. This really should be a TV podcast.
It's about time we talk about something we kind of watch.
I don't think the tattoo is that like unsexy and offensive. Like, if you have other tattoos, it feels like your boyfriend isn't, like, turned off by tattoos generally. I don't know why he'd be turned off by, like, a portrait of Nas.
It's because he's staring dead eyes at the person. It's like, it's
why are you looking
creepy
at someone's arm while you're fucking them? You're like, because he's looking at the back of her arm while they're having sex.
Yeah, maybe they're having
what position
sex
is
doggy style.
If then, like, her back or legs or butt would be obstructing the view there. I feel like when your hands are down, when you're in that position, I'm practicing right now, actually.
Yeah.
And the back of your arm is a little bit turned in towards your body. I think that would obstruct the view. It's not like if this was a lower back tattoo and you're like, my boyfriend won't fuck me doggy style anymore, I would be like, that tracks because this is right in your face.
Yeah,
like that. I understand that.
I think the problem is that on her ass, it's another tattoo of this guy's disapproving father, sort of nodding his head, saying no, no, no.
Right, and on the
think so.
Yeah, you thought Jay-Z and Nas was the beef? No, it's Nas and this guy's disapproving dad, which that tattoo you should have checked in on.
On her lower back is just a photorealistic portrait of this guy's mom, looking.
Is
kind
she
of
disapproving?
No, she's not disapproving, but she's, like, eating a meatball. So it's just, like, I don't need to
just
see
like
that
not
right
sexy.
Now. Yeah, just, like, her mouth, it's like, it's fine, but, right. Like, she's eating.
It's not, like, like in your face, you had a bad relationship with your mom. It's
no,
just
like, it's just so real. It's such, like, an honest moment. It's like your mom eating a fork filled with spaghetti and a meatball.
She's, like, trolling this guy with her body.
In some weird fucking way, I think.
That's bizarre. It's frankly, it's uncouth to me.
And what about having sex in the dark? Like, isn't that kind of a thing? So, like, you wouldn't be able to make
isn't
out the
having
tattoos
sex
very
in
well?
The dark a thing? Yeah,
yeah. It's
a thing.
Like, it's never brightly lit.
Do you have sex
lit
in the light or in the dark? What's your preferred room luminosity?
Yeah, like if 0 is pitch black and 100% is like daytime in Las Vegas outside, what's the goat dimness?
What is the goat dimness for sexual intercourse?
Give me a 12% dimness. That way you
what
can
wattage
make out
are you
things
having coitus to?
I like it dim so that it's sexy but not well lit so that I have to squint.
Yeah. Pitch black precog pool type shit.
I want a thick fucking blindfold folded over 3 times over my eyes. I am, what's that movie with Sandra Bullock?
Speed?
No. She's blindfolded.
Bird Box.
I am Bird Box munching on a box.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I can't.
Yes, dude.
I can't think. I can't see. I can only feel and sort of hear.
Me, I am school cafeteria fluorescent evanescence listening to Evanescence.
It is fluorescent tubes flickering like a 1980s Soviet prison in there.
Oh yeah, I like Saw lighting for fucking.
Yeah, it's like a dirty supermarket from the 70s.
Actually, speaking of sex, my brother, we're recording this as two goats go toe to toe at Wimbledon, Nadal and Federer.
Yeah.
By the time this airs, Wimbledon will have crowned its next champion. But who do you think fucks better, Nadal or Federer?
Oh, good question. Probably Nadal because he's buff and like more tan, and he just seems more passionate. Like Roger is more of like a sensitive lover, more of a romantic type.
Right.
I think so.
I would agree with that assessment. Federer's he's got like kind of like a, some sleek movement though, like really fluid motion. I feel like he would he'd be a tender lover.
Where do you rank Joker on the fuckometer?
24 hours of tantric sex with Novak back to back.
He is ripping his shirt off. He is eating a banana. His haircut is sort of the same as it always was.
Nothing
a
will
slightly
ever
longish buzz. And he is buzzed.
You'd have to be. You're fucking Jake and Amir, Djokovic.
That's right. We're having a lemon party with the number two tennis player of all time. Yvonne Lendl's in the corner.
To what end?
Eating a bowl of cereal and Jang O.
What a strange orgy we're having at Roland Garros.
That's right. We're fucking Djokovic on clay on the day. Yvonne Lendl, the Czech goat, in the corner. And guess who walks in?
Bjorn friggin' Borg. We're having a smorgasbord. A Borgie.
Bjorn Borgie. Mark Philippoussis, ace, rebound, serve and volleys his way into the room.
And after, I'll be fucking Rafter.
Nice. Patrick Rafter's ponytail makes the ladies wail.
Andre's Agassi and Pete Sampras's ass.
Yeah.
I'll slap them, I guess. I don't know.
All right. So I think we've solved that
issue.
We
answered the question, I think.
Make it darker. Don't worry about what he thinks.
Yeah. You got to go dim.
Heighten the dimness.
Let's
take a break and we'll answer some more questions after this. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite? Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their full name.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all of these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code SEGMENTS.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
On to let's do the fight. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross.
Yeah, dude. Guess what? Actually, I'm going to plug my NADPOD shows. So take that. Suck on that, dude.
You owe me cash for this.
My unsolicited advice, I'll Venmo you, all right? I'm sorry. My unsolicited advice is to come check out my D&D podcast. We've got 5 live shows in Atlanta, Philadelphia, New York, Boston, and guess where? Pittsburgh. You can check all those shows out at nadpod.com/live.
Are those
buy
all
your tickets today?
Are those back-to-back-to-back days?
Back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back. 5 shows, 5 days.
Is that true? Holy shit.
Yeah, it's kind of insane.
Are they as like mentally daunting as like as our shows where like you get drunk and you have to like be on for that long and then you feel kind of fried after, or is it like a different vibe?
Well, I think it's probably much more daunting for Murph, who is DMing and has to prepare all this stuff.
Right.
For me, like I don't like it's like intentionally kept secret from me. So
you almost can't prepare.
No, there's, and like my character is also very straightforward. I don't even have to like look at spell books or anything. So that part is kind of easy. It's definitely like mentally draining to like play make believe for that long.
But play make believe.
I mean, it also helps for me that like there's 4 of us instead of just you and I.
Yeah, you can sort of take some time off to just listen and not talk.
Yeah, there are times like in our show all the time where I'm just like, oh, I've just been like listening to everybody else talk for a little bit, which is nice. I think it's like, and that's like good because if we're all talking all the time, it's too much.
Yeah.
So you can really just like take a few minutes and like just listen and react a little bit. You're not like the center of attention, which is good.
Are you getting wasted?
I have a drink on stage, but I feel like even on our shows now, I don't get wasted like I did when I was a rowdy youngster.
A rowdy 33-year-old.
Yeah, when I was a rowdy 33-year-old. Now that I'm almost 33 and 48 weeks.
Should I choose a question?
Yeah, your turn.
Okay, maybe you can read it.
Okay, tell me which one to read.
I'll go shaving, colon, I'm not gross.
Oh, wait, actually, will you forward that back to me?
Okay. I'll forward you shaving, colon, I'm not gross. Is your Gmail still hjerwitz@aol.com?
Dude, you'll edit that out, right? When you say my true email, hj.
hj69herwitz@yahoo.com.
Don't at me. we'll call this person Rafa Nadal. Vamos.
Okay.
Hey guys, I'm a day one, like College Humor days, tuning in for new episodes day one, which means I am not 15. I'm 27. To paint a picture of my life, I am a fit, healthy individual and totally not gross at all.
Okay.
I love an email that starts with that, that clarification. One quick addendum up front. I'm not gross at all.
Yeah.
I have a girlfriend that I'm very close with, and recently on a vacation, I noticed my pubes were getting a little long, so I took my electric razor with the little flippy end and began carefully grooming. She found this to be repulsive. She said it is gross that I use the same electric razor on my pubes and also on my face. I played it off as I was joking, but it has left me wondering, who's in the wrong here? For her, is it just the mental associations with private parts that are gross? Or is there something really gross about it, even though I am a hygienic person, that is totally not gross? I really cannot imagine owning a second electric razor just for my pubes. Thoughts, best, Rafa Nadal.
Wow, this is very apropos for one of our most recent sponsors, Manscaped, which is a razor just for your pubes.
It feels like this was a sponsored question, but I'm also just I basically picked this because I was curious as to what you do. And let me guess, you trim with the same razor.
That's right, I do.
I don't think it's gross. I don't think it's... My razor can be cleaned in the sink.
Yeah, also, like, what does it mean to have, like, a clean razor versus a dirty one from your pubes? Like, are there... I guess you could have pubic lice, but are there other, like, things that separate pubic hair from normal hair?
Your pubes sweat, I guess, so you'll just have, like... I guess like having nut sweat and pube sweat rubbed on your face feels pretty gross.
Yeah.
But I think if you're just like, usually I groom before I take a shower. So like, even if I did put the razor on my pubes, then on my face, and then I took a shower, would that like, that doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah, it's not like you're wiping your ass and then blowing your nose with the tissue, which I know you've done.
I do that. But then after that, I also take a shower. Like even, I guess any gross thing, if you're about to take a shower, feels like it's in play.
Yeah, like I'll take a shit and not wipe if you're about to take a shower.
That's true. You can, because you can clean your butt in the shower. It's better than wiping. Yeah. It's a bidet for your whole body.
So you can smear shit on your body as long as you're about to take a shower. You can trim your pubes with your beard trimmer as long as you're about to take a shower.
I also think it's really funny that this dude, when she was like, this is gross, he was like, I'm kidding. And now it's been slowly stewing. What is going to happen? He's going to have to go to her and be like, remember how I jokingly shaved my pubes before? Well, it wasn't a joke. And I don't think it's gross. Like, okay, Rafa, you're scaring me.
Making a very funny serious dramatic statement. Like almost like you're having an intervention or a coming out. What else do people shave? Have you ever like shaved a chest or narrowed a arm or narrowed a back or done anything like that?
When I was in seventh grade, I was like starting to get hair on under my armpits, but it wasn't coming in fast enough. And I'd heard if you shave, it comes back thicker and darker. So I think I shaved my armpits to try to hurry that process up.
And
it worked.
Oh my god, your bush.
No, I don't think I don't think it worked that well. I feel like I remember it being itchy.
Yeah.
Have you ever done anything?
No, not really. I had some friends that like shaved their chest because they didn't like having a hairy chest.
Oh yeah, well I don't think either of us have very hairy chests. I have friends that have like super hairy chests, hairy stomachs that shave them. I have friends that have hairy shoulders that shave them as well.
Oh.
I don't really have any unwanted hair anywhere. Like my legs and arms aren't even that hairy.
That's cool. How's your taint?
It's a rat's nest. My taint is a rat's
It's
taint.
A tropical rainforest down there.
It's a Brillo pad, bud.
Well, yeah, it's a steel wool and the shit just hangs on like a stalactite down there. And it is not stalagmite. It is
stalagmite get it friggin' waxed.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, no, I don't have anything that I would, if anything, I wouldn't mind like some more chest hair. I feel like chest hair is kind of cool.
So like the opposite of shaving, sort of like a razor that places hair back on.
Adding, yeah. I need like, well, a razor that shaves my face, but then it can, there's little glue in the chamber and then I can reverse it along my chest.
What you do is you want to smear glue on your chest, shave your beard, and let the hair fall where they may, like that magnetic beardo man.
Yeah, that's actually perfect. That's the ideal solution. So that's what we're that's our suggestion to this guy.
Yeah. So, wait, what did he say?
It doesn't matter.
I guess if you don't have a beard, you can shave your pubes upside down and put glue on your chin. That way,
why
when
not?
It falls, it sort of makes a little goatee.
And what's gross about that?
This is the lady who had a tattoo, right?
They should really be with each other.
All right, let me get to my second question. Drunk girlfriend perspective.
Okay.
I'm a 24-year-old, we'll call this lady Coco, who took over Wimbledon. I'm a 24-year-old law student at UGA, writes Coco, and I've been dating my boyfriend, a fellow law student, for about 4 months. I went to Louisiana to visit my family, and by honest-to-God accident, got completely shit-faced the last night of the trip. I was at a bar with my dad and two of my uncle's neighbors in the middle of the bayou, and we got there by a boat.
Crew.
My uncle's neighbor. I really wanted to leave, but my dad didn't want to ask the neighbors to take us home. Naturally, drunk me got pissed about this, and I called my boyfriend and complained about it. But it was about 10 p.m., 11 in Georgia. I was obviously very drunk on the phone, and I think I got so distraught explaining my situation that I cried. The next day, he was pissed at me. My question is this. Why do boyfriends get mad at their significant others for drinking too much? In this situation, I may have said something stupid and gotten upset, but that's it. I didn't put myself or anyone else in a dangerous situation. A similar thing has happened to some of my friends, where their boyfriends get mad at them for drinking too much when they aren't around. Why? Jake/Amir, would y'all be mad at your wife/girlfriend if she did this? Is it fair to get mad at a significant other for getting drunk and calling you in an emotional state? Thoughts on this issue would be greatly appreciated. Huh.
Okay.
Does this sound familiar to you? Like where guys, you know, get mad at their girlfriends for getting drunk?
I remember being mad at like my college girlfriend when she was drunk one time. And I think it was because in my head, I was like, she's drunk. She's more likely to cheat on me. And the reason I thought that was because I would get drunk and cheat on her.
Right. So you're projecting what happened to you.
I think a lot of like that, like jealousy around drunkenness comes from like your like it's hypocritical. It's like this is, or it's projection. It's a projection.
So that's why guys get mad at girls that get drunk.
This guy was convinced you were gonna fuck your uncle's neighbor.
You're there with your uncle's neighbor
in a freaking fan boat in the bayou.
Also, you don't have to say that you got accidentally drunk. You got drunk on purpose. You're just scared of your boyfriend for some reason.
That's true. But I've gotten like accidentally drunk too.
Maybe accidentally too drunk, but you know what's going to happen when you drink.
Yeah, that's true. You got drunk, and I would want to get drunk if I was on the bayou with my uncle's neighbors as well.
Yeah. So it seems like the anger stems from weird level of jealousy where you're like, you're getting drunk and acting crazy without me there to protect you. I don't know. It all feels very weird.
I guess I'm trying to think if I've ever been like mad at someone for getting drunk and it was like for a noble reason. Like, I just want you to be safe. But like, she's with her dad and like, it seems like she was perfectly, perfectly safe. So him being mad does kind of feel more like a weird, like possessive jealousy type thing.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good to me. I think you could be concerned. I wouldn't want him to be mad.
Right. That's exactly it. Like when you call him the next day and you're hungover, he should be like, "Are you okay? Do you feel better? Are you sick?" Not, "Why are you getting drunk with your father? You're gonna fuck him. I know it."
Yeah, I want you to ask him, why are you mad, and hear what his explanation is.
Why are you mad, though?
Yeah, why are you angry at me? All right, I will choose your second question. kissing my coworker in Europe problem.
That's right.
An American dude, so we'll call him Andy Roddick.
Nice. The goat.
Erotic.
Billy Goat, the young goat, the goat that never was.
He won a U.S. Open.
That's goaty. That's pretty
good. And Erotic, he is erotic, because he just joined the Bjorn Borgi.
Whoa, the Bjorn Borgi. It is catching on.
That's right. Spreading like wildfire.
Okay, Erotic writes, hey guys, longtime listener, and I think second time question asker. I have a question about if I should start kissing my coworkers / superior at work. Let me explain. I am an American who is doing a PhD in the Wallonie region in Belgium. I swear that's important. Uh-huh. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Belgian culture, but when you meet friends or say hello to new people, you generally give them a single kiss on the cheek as a greeting, similar to many European cultures. When I first got to Europe, I was pretty weirded out about this custom since, as you know, we don't normally do this, and it's generally seen as too intimate for Americans, especially when you do it with both men and women. However, as I stayed longer, it has gotten very normal, and I have no problem doing it when I meet people. But here is the problem. When I first met my coworker, we didn't kiss, and since then, we haven't kissed every day since I've been there. It's been almost 3 years, and I feel weird every time I see him because I kiss everyone else in our lab except him. It's especially weird because it's just me and him in this one room, so I feel like he probably expects me to do it, but I never do. So my question is, what should I do? Would it be weird to start kissing him every morning? Should I do nothing? I have no problem kissing guys when I say hello, but this would just be weird, right? If only I had a Starbucks. Hope you guys can help. Roddick.
So dudes in Europe kiss on the cheek when they say hello?
Maybe in Belgium. I don't think I've experienced that in the European cities that we've visited. I have some European members of my family who do like a double kiss, but
yeah.
I don't think I do it with the guys.
It's because you're not a PhD. This guy's a doctor.
Right. He's a doc.
I think you can chalk it up to being a foreigner. I assume they think that Americans don't know about the customs. I think it would be weird to start kissing now.
After 3 years, you definitely don't. It's a little mundane. You see people every single day at work. I wouldn't, even if it was like part of my, I feel like I would not be interested in kissing people every single day. Every day? I think this is more like if you guys had like an office outing, an off-site somewhere, you like saw him at a happy hour, then it's like, oh, all right, we're like in a social setting. I'll adhere to a social norm out here.
Yeah.
But it feels like alone in an office, walking in. I would rather put my bag down, put my coffee on the counter and be like, how's it going? Then walk across the room, give my boss a kiss hello, and then go to work. That seems very off to me.
Actually, since this guy owes him about 3 years worth of kissings, let me just get it out of the way now. How many times have we hung out?
Well, let's not count the weekend, so that's 3 years, but minus all the weekends. We might have to take a break.
Sorry, this isn't part of our culture. I don't know why you thought that.
Yeah, it seems like a lot. It seems like a lot of kissing. I remember in eighth grade, since a lot of kids at this school that I was in for middle school were Italian, it was like a big thing to kiss people on the cheek at the end of the day. It was like what all of the popular kids did. They would like kiss on the cheek.
Whoa.
And in eighth grade, I was a loser in seventh grade. And in eighth grade, I became popular for like a few months. And I was in on the cheek kissing at the end of the day. And it
That's
was like,
cool.
It was so cool. I was like looking for, I would be like, all right, dude, now I'm going to get my kisses. These are the kids you passed in the halls just doing casual kiss on the cheek goodbye. And then I got to friggin' partake.
Hey, Jake, I've been thinking about it, and I think you should kiss us at the end of the day.
No way, Joe.
Holy shit. This is huge for me.
Yeah, it was really I mean, it was a pivotal life moment for me.
You're part of the kissing crew. I remember the cool kids.
I was part of the kissing crew.
The cool kids at the end of recess in like third or fourth grade at my school used to hug at the end of the recess to say goodbye, and it was like the hottest thing. And then teachers were like, "You guys can't hug to say goodbye."
You don't have to.
They viewed it
that
as like too sexual.
I mean, it arguably is.
They're like, the guys are just hugging girls at this point, right, just to like feel boobs.
Yeah, that's,
and like, you shouldn't be this turned on in third grade.
The teachers are like, we know it's hot.
It's too hot. I'm trying to teach you math.
You're turning me on.
I mean, you on.
Yourselves, I mean. Anyway, this has been a really shitty parent teacher conference.
I quit teaching, I think.
You're absolutely fired.
Going in for the hug. Ah! All right. Are those all four questions?
We did it.
Hell yeah. Good job, us. And good job, you guys, for listening.
Way to go.
If you have your own questions, your own theme songs, send them all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Opening theme song was written by Nathan again. Dear Lincoln, shout out. This closing one is written by Tanner.
Tanner.
T-A-N-N-E-R. That's right. You know what? I forgot to mention, last episode I was talking so optimistically about Kawhi Leonard trying to join the Lakers, or I was hoping that he would join the Lakers.
That's right. He ended up.
And I ended up changing my opinion. Like, fuck that guy.
Right.
I think he's kind of like an overrated snake. So I'm not really sure where if he ended up choosing the Lakers or not, but.
Oh, well, he didn't. He chose the Clippers, the other Los Angeles.
Yeah, okay.
Team.
So that actually tracks my fucking narrative that this guy's like couldn't even handle the Lakers. Like,
I feel like if
we have to convince you,
that
then you're not one of us.
That was the narrative. That shaped your narrative.
Yeah, I think he's a fucking overrated
snake. It's really fun to think about the NBA that just like there are so many teams now with like brand new All-Stars teaming up. It's like,
I think it was like 8 of the top 15 players from last year switch teams
and,
or something.
And also, I mean, it's sad that Clay is hurt, but like it feels like the Warriors, it was always just like, when is their dynasty going to end? And it was like, oh, just right now. That's it.
That's right. It ends quickly. These dynasties don't often drag out. They fall apart.
Yeah. Super fun.
All right. Thanks again to Nathan and Tanner. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. Ciao.
Later.
If I could email it, if I were you, that's probably what I would do. You have a question for these Jews, then ask the way they'll answer you. You got a problem with an ex, caught your girlfriend having sex, needed advice on how to text. Well, just with the ladies, math is more your speed. They're gonna do a show for you. If you have a question, send it to if.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live and we'll see you there.
All right. Bye.